You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. Wouldn't my cake
and eat it too? Very good morning to you. On a Tuesday, Mike McNamara with you. Tell you what we're going to do today. I'm trying to be more disciplined in the opening, just so you know. Tom Drowdy's going to join us. Tom, three different tours in Vietnam. So we'll talk to him and get his thoughts on the PBS series. You know, one of the interesting things about the series, I mentioned it yesterday, is the different things that you're encountering that you're... you ask why. Tim Lynch sent me an email about guys rotating. You know, how did that ever make sense? You know? And again, it was institutionally the first time we did this, but still, you wonder how it ever made sense to anybody. I mean, it defies every principle of team building that's ever been created. Since the first team got created, and I don't know exactly when that was, but they would have looked at our rotation policy in Vietnam and said, what are you doing, man? That's ridiculous. So anyway, you know, you bring, you know, that kind of comes into question, right? And then, you know, the other, why did we run away from Vietnam, you know? Regardless of the outcome, you know, why did we institutionally, like I said, I didn't learn anything about Con Tien. I didn't learn anything about My Lai while I was on active duty. Why didn't they share those experiences? So we'll talk about that. The 1968, man, wow. If you're watching the series, you know, what? Two different episodes, what, somewhere between 3 and 4 hours devoted to it, and just how the nation got rocked month after month after month in Vietnam. The other thing that's interesting about this, the episode, was, you know, a second and third attempt at Tet, in terms of smaller versions of Tet. And so, you know, it's like they said the guy who was running all of that, a guy named Lee Xuan in North Vietnam, you know, that his assumptions were the South Vietnamese military would crumble and the people would rise up, both of which were invalid assumptions. Hey, get out of here. My dogs are losing their minds. Anyway, did he have a better grasp of what was going on inside the United States than most people give him credit for? Good question. So we're going to talk about that with Tom Drowdy and get his thoughts on it. So I'll tell you, I find it fascinating just the discussions that come out of it as a, you know, just as kind of a Marine Corps, not even as an American society observer in what the nation was going through. One of the things that they covered last night was deserters. And that kind of view of the conflict and families. You had one family, one son goes to West Point, the other one winds up joins the Marine Corps as an enlisted Marine, and then deserts, goes to Canada, winds up overdosing and dying in, was it Hong Kong? I think it was. So you see the way Vietnam tears at the fabric of a family. and what it was to be a deserter. So interesting series if you're not watching it. So we'll talk to Tom Drowdy. I also want to talk about the whole, you know, two other subjects when we get going here and check news headlines. I want to talk about the NFL thing and the chief of staff of the White House made a comment last night. So I want to talk about that. And there's one other thing. Oh, I want to talk about the Republican on Republican thing going on today in Alabama. Steve Bannon versus the world. So Bannon, an interesting guy, but he's down there campaigning for one candidate, the president, Mitch McConnell, campaigning for the other. Bannon on the side of, do you remember the judge who stopped the Ten Commandments thing from happening in Alabama, them being removed and all that? Yeah, and then ultimately was removed from office. That guy. So Bannon on his side, the president on a guy by the name of Luther Strange's side. I can't remember the judge's name off the top of my head. Oh, Roy Moore, off the top of my head. So anyway, that's an interesting little event going on. And also point you towards a link of the entire 90-minute interview that CBS 60 Minutes did with Bannon. I found his, you know, when we put him on trial. So I'd point you to the entire interview. Get your thoughts on that if you care to spend 90 minutes of your life like that. And so anyway, we'll check news headlines. We'll check the top five on the early bird. Keep you up to date. And the United States Marine Corps band makes it official on a Tuesday, the 26th day of September. Almost October. How about that? Nights are getting cold. Anyway, good morning to you. I personally need to hear this.
Oh, And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Claudia in 72, just south of the nation's capital, Quantico, Virginia. 77 and cloudy. Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Texas reports cloudy in 75. Montana warmed up, cloudy 48. 29 Palms sunny in 62. Now's the time of the year when you want to be in 29 Palms. Low 90s, high 80s, which feels like nothing out there for whatever reason. And then in a month or so, it'll be, you know, middle 80s to low 90s. So it's beautiful fall and early winter. Camp Pendleton, how about this? Partly sunny at 49. Yeah, Camp Pendleton in Montana. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, and 84 right now. Baraka, it's been in the 90s, stays that way today. 94 degrees and sunny. Marja warmed up a little bit. Clear, dark, and 87 degrees. And the home of All Marine Radio on the coast of Southern California. Cloudy and 57. Yeah, it's cold. Looking for a high today of 79 degrees. We're good. Anything under 80, dial that right in. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll check news headlines after this. Tom Droughty going to join us at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk to him, get his thoughts on a bunch of things. You know, the national anthem thing, you know, bugs me. And I used to think about, you know, can you imagine if you had fought on Iwo Jima and you're sitting in at a baseball game. And I remember this happening in Oakland, California, in the late 60s. And somebody won't stand up for the national anthem in the stands. And I remember looking, and I remember this yelling going on during the national anthem, which was like, what's going on? And you're looking, and all of a sudden, you know, you saw these guys who were just sitting there. They wouldn't stand up. Could you imagine if you had fought on Iwo Jima or Okinawa and you your brain's beginning to explode? How do they deal with it? You know, and I guess, and the problem is, and I'll talk about it here in a minute, but our flag and that song don't represent the same things to different people. They don't have our life experience. So I can only speak for mine, so we'll talk about that in a minute. Tom Droughty after that, on a Tuesday that feels like Monday. Good morning to you.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
I screwed it up.
Good morning.
Yesterday, as the president was whipping up the... As he is prone to do... He was whipping up the nation relative to the NFL. It's not the NFL. It's what he feels is, and I would tell you probably what is the predominant sentiment in the country about protest during the national anthem. There was, I guess, a story that circulated that you know, the chief of staff disapproved of what the president was saying. So last night, evidently, the chief of staff reached out to CNN. Yeah. And the one thing you'll notice that you do not see, you do not see John Kelly in the news very much. You don't, I mean, you see him, you know, doing his job, but you don't see any grand swerves, right, into grandstanding or anything. You know, the other thing I will tell you is the video shows Kelly's reaction to Trump's speech. John Kelly's a disciplined dude, okay? So when he rubs his head or when he puts his it is just him. It is not him registering an emotional response to a speech the president is giving in public. So, you know, I see pictures of things like that, like Kelly's hand, like, over his eyes, right, as Trump gives a speech. And that is his emotional that's not John Kelly, trust me. And I just find it amusing, this shit you see on in the media about him. He is a disciplined guy. He's been a disciplined guy for a long time. And one of the things that you learn, whether you like the comments of whoever your commanding officer or not, you don't sit in the audience and make faces. You can think whatever you want, certainly. But so I just find it stupid. Anyway, last night, he took the opportunity to make his feelings known about what is described by CNN as, in a brief interview Monday evening, Kelly told CNN that he was appalled by what he sees as a lack of respect for the flag and the national anthem. Okay, so this is Kelly making a statement, essentially. That's essentially what this brief interview is. Quote, I believe every American, when the national anthem is played, should cover their hearts and think about the men and women who have been maimed and killed, Kelly said. Every American should stand up and think for three lousy minutes. Okay, now one of the great things about John Kelly is he's a pretty interesting communicator because he's a normal human being. He was raised in a normal family. And his intellect and hard work have propelled him to extremely high positions in our government. But he is about as normal as they come. And I would offer you, as if you recall, those of you who listen, I played a little audio clip from he at a thing called the Aspen Summit, something like that. He appeared there, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff appeared there. So I played their entire appearances there. So Kelly gets asked by Pete Williams about what a certain type of technology is, and he doesn't know that they're going to start using. And so Williams, after it's referred to a second time in the interview, sees somebody in the audience and says, what is that? And the guy says, oh, it's this. And Kelly's sitting there, he looks down and he says, dork. All right. Now, that is about, right? That's a guy 101. Normal guy, played team sports growing up, right? Talked trash on playgrounds, rode his bike, threw rocks at people. You know, that's just being a guy. And that's what Kelly is. And the way he communicates is very much like that. He's not going to try to be Henry Kissinger or William Buckley. He could be if he wanted to, but when he communicates, very interesting. So, as I watched all that nonsense last night about the national anthem and the fallout from the NFL, I just reflected on why does it create anxiety in me? And I thought, you know what? it creates anxiety in me because of my life experience. I know how lucky those guys are to be able to make the kind of money they make doing what they do. If you've been around the world, if you've been to some of the shitholes on the planet, but the problem is they haven't been to those places. They don't know. And so, in our perspective of the planet, we know about the sacrifice. We've seen it. We know how fortunate we all are. And I heard somebody say, if we all can't stand up collectively for 2 to 3 minutes of the national anthem and reflect on what our nation is, then what do we all stand up for? Because we certainly don't stand up together for anything else. And I thought, you know, that's kind of interesting. You know, but a lot of people don't live their lives like we live ours. They don't serve anybody but themselves. And they live lives of privilege. The thing that most distresses me is that they use the national anthem as a platform to make some kind of statement, and they don't follow that up with anything else behind that. And I find that troubling. That so it's just another event on the road to becoming Kim Kardashian, to identifying your brand. That's what it is. And it's not that way to us. And exacerbating all of it is that now you can go ahead and you can turn on CNN and you can, and this is my problem with the media and where we are as a nation and all the rest of this shit. And I go back to the fairness doctrine, and people can take me on for that. I don't care. But you get up in the morning and you turn on CNN. That's the news to you. Okay. If you look at the Vietnam documentary, you had Walter Cronkite, you had Chet Huntley and David Brinkley at ABC, and I don't even know who was on NBC. But those three nightly broadcasts, the news part of it didn't differ a whole lot. The same news reporting on the Democratic National Convention in 1968 that you saw on CBS, you probably saw something pretty close to it on ABC. And you probably saw something close to it on CBS. If you turn on the news tonight, what you see as quote-unquote news on CNN will be fundamentally different than what you see as news on Fox. And so if you live your life in those pipelines, when you come to discuss something, your vacuum tubes are blown because, you know, the president's a white supremacist. And that's a fact. That's been reported as news. I even see it on ESPN. And so you can live in that pipeline. And then what you see on Sunday is, oh yeah. So I don't know. I think I couldn't agree more with General Kelly and whoever it was yesterday that said for 2 to 3 minutes we need to come together and remind ourselves how fortunate we are to live in a country where all you women that listen, you could be anything you want to be. Not so in most of the world. And if you're a minority, you could be anything you want to be in this country. And if you don't believe that, then you need to go on a tour with me. And it would seem to me that reminding ourselves of that and recommitting ourselves to the future is what I would like to see. But other people don't look at it that way, and I try to remind myself that it's incumbent upon me to be respectful of that. But my problem with it is when you use the national anthem to make a statement and you don't follow that statement up with any action in your community. So if this was initially about police brutality against black men, which I think all of us would say it's troubling, and there's two pieces to the solution, and we have to get the adults that are part of this in the room together to talk about it. One, if you're a black man, cooperate with the police. If you're a cop, do what you're supposed to do. And police department heads, you better have the training and you better have the staffing so that innocent people aren't killed on your watch. And if they are, you should go to jail. All right, we have to take a break. Tom Drowdy joins us next on a Tuesday. Good morning to you. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Booker T and the MGs. Yeah, I don't know where the gunner is or what he's doing. I've got some emails that I'll read to you, though. It's from a Vietnam veteran. A bit concerned there was no podcast posted yesterday and no live broadcast today so far. As of 10:00 Central Daylight Time. Well, I went to a funeral yesterday. And Jack McGarry was laid to rest. Jack was the father of my roommate from college, my son's godfather, and a great friend of mine, Kevin McGarry. And so he was buried at the Miramar National Military Cemetery at 9:30 yesterday. So I left here around 8:00. And to get down to the funeral and spend the day with Kevin and his family and Jack McGarry, one of those salt of the earth guys who was a big part of he wasn't particularly, but you know, guys like him raised me. My dad, being in baseball, left every February. I didn't see him again till the middle of June. We were with him half the summer. We came home at the end of August. He came home sometime in the middle to late September, and then it only got worse as he got to the big leagues and became more successful. The big league season doesn't end till October, the first week in October. Then he would go to the World Series and the playoffs, then maybe the instructional league. So, guys like Jack McGarry were guys who had profound influence on me, because they were my teachers and my coaches, and my dad being gone so much, they were, guys like him were, you know, huge in my life. And so, he was a veteran of the United States Air Force. I want to say they had 6 kids. He and his wife Mary, who passed away a little over a year ago. That's where I was yesterday. Ken goes on, I'm thankful the program exists. And know that on the production side, a labor of love can become one hell of a burden. Just hope that you and yours are doing well and that the show can go on. Semper Fidelis, Ken, I won't say his last name, 0302 OJT, no IOC, Bravo Company 15, 1967, 1968. The Bravo Company sucks, by the way. Charlie Company 15 is a shit. Ask me how I know. That's right. Second Lieutenant McNamara. Third Platoon, Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. Bravo Company. Get real. No, you know what? It is a labor of love. I would tell you this. The education alone that I've received about Vietnam is incredible. And this, I say that before even the Ken Burns thing. Before the Ken Burns thing. And so, it's just fascinating to me. Vietnam, so different. And then, like a kaleidoscope, it changes as the years go by and where you were in the country. So, interesting. Another, another email. Mac, you have any thoughts on Hillary Clinton? No, I don't. I mean, come on. Just go away already. I said this last week, and it's kind of my institutional position relative to the Clintons. You know, follow Deep Throat's advice, right? Follow the money. You want to explain Hillary Clinton's behavior? It's about money. It's about money. So I think it's actually kind of somewhat comical. And so in terms of understanding the Clintons, you know what Deep Throat say? Follow the money. And so I think her behavior is easily explained. You know, she is a political person. The way the Clintons have conducted themselves over the course of their lives is moderately embarrassing. You know, from I include the Clinton Foundation. Honestly, I mean, here's something that still blows me away. George Stephanopoulos interviewed her, okay, and did not disclose the fact that that he was gave money to the Clinton Foundation. I mean, it's just like, come on, that's the easy stuff. If you can't do that, how do you do the hard stuff? Right, boys? If you can't do the easy, then how the hell do you do the hard? It's just so greasy. How does George Stephanopoulos, like, with a, you know, look into the camera after that? It's just, I don't know. But that seems to be what you get, you know. That seems to be what you get from the Clintons, right? And it seems to be, by and large, what you get from politicians. So, I mean, it's sad, but it is. Another email. You brought up something interesting in passing the other day when talking about Ken Burns' new series, which I need to start watching. You mentioned how U.S. troops in Vietnam, and then again in Iraq and Afghanistan, always seem to be receiving combat and getting ambushed, not the other way around. I remember reading after my first deployment that the British commander in Malaysia regarded that as the critical metric in fighting an insurgency, percentage of contacts his men initiated. When that was decisively in their favor, he knew they were winning. It seemed to me, at the platoon company level in Operation Enduring Freedom, that we took it for granted that the enemy would get the first shot almost every time. Was initiating contact a metric RCT division MEF ever tracked or emphasized when you were deployed as a staff? The answer to that would be no. And I don't know that I would agree. I don't know that I would agree with that. I mean, it would certainly be the way that you wanted it to be, right? That you had the intelligence and that you had the tactical ability to dictate or to assert yourself on them. But my experience, the problem is they know the neighborhood. They know the terrain better than you do. And because you're an overt presence and they're a covert presence in this insurgency, they're able to watch you, to study you in a way that you aren't able to watch or study them. And so to me, it's a difficult metric if you institute that and you say, that's the metric that we'll use to go ahead and to define whether we're successful or not successful. I think that's hard. And I would have to give that some thought, you know, relative to is that an appropriate metric? Maybe it is. Maybe it is, and maybe that's what we should all aspire to. But to answer the question, it was not at the time. All right, another email. Mac, I was curious about your comments relative to the whole national anthem thing. I think General Kelly's remarks are spot on. But again, our perspective is our perspective. One of the great things about our country that the people doing this probably don't even give any thought is that as a minority, they have rights. We have all lived, those of us who have fought in the last 15 years, a life where we have seen that those rules don't apply in much of the world. I think standing up and honoring the flag is a simple recognition of that. Whatever you go on to protest, I would appreciate it if it was done in that vein. And I agree with you. I would appreciate it if there was something constructive that came out of it. Otherwise, what's the fucking point? To further my brand? To be down with it? We all know that's bullshit. That's follower bullshit. If you feel strongly enough to do it, you should feel strongly enough to follow through. Were I a player in the NFL, I would be screaming at the NFL. We want a task force. We want to use our brand and that shield that we helped develop and build as a means of getting to a better place in these discussions. We want us to be about social change or at least social dialogue. I think that would be so incredible. The players of the National Football League using their marketing capability, which is huge in this country, to open up responsible dialogue. But I'm just dreaming at this point. The truth of it is most of them will never get off their dead asses and do anything. This is for appearance only, so they can go home to where they live and say, yeah, I represent. Kind of harsh. But you know what? I think kind of true. Because if you don't go out and practice what you preach, then you're bullshit. Your protest is bullshit, and you're probably a bullshit human being raised by bullshit people. And hopefully life will give you what you deserve. I have nothing but respect for people that follow through on things they feel strongly about. I just don't see a lot of it these days. My heart breaks when I read the things that General Kelly says along these veins. I saw him on Fox News maybe a year or so ago. I can't remember, talking about his son and what a fine young man he was. I saw that too. It's pretty brutal. What's brutal about it is that, you know, General Kelly, he's a tough guy. He's dealt with his son's death for a long time now. His son was killed on November 9th of 2010. And so we're going on, 8 years? And yet when he spoke about him that day on Fox News, you know, you could see his mouth quiver and he catch himself. That was his baby, right? And now from that perspective, you watch this. Shit. Not easy. Not easy. We'll take another break. We'll check news headlines. More of All Marine Radio on a Tuesday, coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do. and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global SOC Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global SOC Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Last night when they played this song was after watching a lot of pretty good detail in the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, Mayor Daley, and the Chicago police. And let me read you an email. This is from Ohio, Matt. Those cops were delivering some vicious blows with those wooden batons. Yeah, so you're watching that, and then at some point in the, you're seeing all this violence. And I mean, there's one in particular. There's a shot of, and you're kind of looking at it from above the street, and the cops are moving right to left. So it's like you're on a second story, you know, shooting the video down. And there's this protester, and he's got his back to this cop. And this cop takes his baton, and I want to say he takes the butt end of the baton, and he raises it up high, and he slams it into the kidney of one of the protesters. Obviously, the guy's back is to him, and he's kind of moving away. But you see this guy just arch, his body completely arch, and his hands go up. And you're like, wow. But the violence in Chicago, holy shit, man. That used to be Cincinnati had a reputation for being like that. I know when I went to that, don't mess around with the cops downtown. They don't fuck around. And, you know, before the day of the cell phone, right? You know, and I mean, think about it. Think how powerful. I mean, the first time we saw it. Since the Democratic National Convention, how powerful it was, at least off the top of my head, was the Rodney King thing. Somebody had a video camera. Happens outside their home, and they start videotaping. But the Democratic National Convention, you know, they had army troops. And I remember being 11 years old and watching that shit on TV with my mom. I want to say my dad was out of town. We had an apartment in Oakland. It was his first year as a coach for the Oakland A's. And I had nothing to do. And it was hot in that apartment. And I remember not being able to sleep. I slept on the floor. I think it was a little two-bedroom apartment that we lived in that summer. And I slept on the floor. And, which I didn't mind at all. I'm, you know, I was a little guy. I didn't care. But I remember sitting up with my mom watching the convention and the craziness. Now, that convention happened in the summer. When would it have happened? Bobby Kennedy had just been killed right in the first week of June, California primary, late in the primary season. And let me just... Let me just search when it was. August 26th through 29th. So it was the end of the summer in 1968. But Ohio man, yeah, no shit, man. The cops in Chicago, they straight up get after those protesters. They got after everybody. What was it, Dan Rather? They beat his ass too. So it's 1968, I'm telling you, as a year in American history. I would be curious to find out if, as different years stack up, is that the most traumatic year in American history? And you have to say that 1861, is another year. 1865, with the assassination of Lincoln, the end of the Civil War, another traumatic year, in American history. So, pretty interesting. But to see the episode, some of the fallout, I won't tell you who sent me this, but I got this morning. Episode number 7 is very tough to watch. I would give it an A+. After watching the episode, the Washington Post runs a Jane Fonda story today in hard copy. Also story on American POWs who sided with the North. So, I mean, so it's just interesting, of all the things that the Washington Post could run, what they choose to run. Also, Pat Horan, who's a TBI guy, is pissed because the English translation of Vietnamese is too fast and he can't read it. But he likes the documentary. Pat, hit the pause button, damn it. That's what I do. Trying to read it's a pain. Right? So just take the pause button and zap it. Read the subtitle and then let it go. That's my recommendation to you, bud. He goes on. Burns should show wounded vets back in the USA in DOD hospitals. Thousands and thousands. 68 was a great year to get drunk. Also, I got married, thank God. Wife's best friend, KIA, in Vietnam the year before. She could barely talk about it, even with me. Everything was insane. Yeah, I mean, literally, I mean, think about that. Think about it. Not only, you know, you got the Vietnam War, the protests for the war, Martin Luther King assassinated, Bobby Kennedy assassinated. You have Mini Tet. And what you're coming to grips with this whole Tet thing isn't simply, you know, the increased violence. It's that you were led that this thing was on the downslope, right? That this thing was on a glide path to being solved. And then, you know, Claymore blows up right in front of your face. So it's, here's another interesting one. Mac, you brought up an interesting question, although you didn't finish your thought. I think the guy's name is Lejuan, and he spells it L-E-D-U-A-N. I think that's it. Right? We know, I didn't even know, this is how crazy this is. I never even heard of this guy. It gives you some kind of insight into my depth of understanding. I thought Ho Chi Minh ran that thing. Anyway, Lejuan, did he make an error in his assessment and blindly stumble into a strategic victory on his way to attempting a tactical victory? Is that what happened? That's a good question. And then he goes on. Or was he astute enough watching what was going on American television, that he had some sense that the United States was reaching a culminating point and knew that if he pushed tactically, even though he would lose, and I just heard Tom Droughty say that the Viet Cong would cease to exist as a fighting force after that, that he knew that was his best chance for victory. I hope Burns covers that, because that's a very, very interesting question. I've enjoyed the conversation all week, to include your lament, and I share it, that Vietnam guys didn't talk about it. And it should be a lesson for all of us. Don't be afraid to talk about your combat experience. Make sure you caveat it with, this is just my view. It could be completely wrong, but this is what I think. Because it does help younger Marines. Shit, listen to you talking about it. All these years later, you still want to hear about it. That, you know what? That is the truth, too. I do want to hear about it. There's not a veteran that I bump into that if we start talking and they start recounting, I don't sit there riveted to what they're saying about their own experience. So I think maybe we should have a class on that at the basic school, at EWS, command and staff, or whatever they call those schools now. Hey, you need to talk. You need to spread the knowledge. And again, here are the caveats. One man's perspective. This is what I believe happened. You need to talk. And if you get enough of those layers, guess what? You might be able to get up from down. But you know what? That's not a bad idea. There is an institutional bias about talking too much about your own experience. One, are you pumping your tire? Two, from those humble people, do you have it right? I'm reluctant because this is, I think you ought to just do a data dump. You ought to do a data dump, and then what you ought to do is allow them, if they get enough data points, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. All right, we're going to check the we'll check the early bird right now. Haven't done this in a few days, so the absence of the gunner. Hold on. Wow. The all right, the early bird. We'll check the news right now. Top story. Questions mount on size of Puerto Rico relief mission, hospital ships in action. Again, on the back of the Texas thing, on the back end of the Florida thing, Puerto Rico sits without power. And so a lot of questions about the size of the mission down there. And then I believe the president just announced this morning that he's going to Puerto Rico. So give me one second, and I think I think they announced, if I'm not mistaken, since we came on the. Yeah, he'll be in Puerto Rico next Tuesday. So President Trump heading there. So, again, as we've seen, him head to most disaster places. So he will head there. In military times, two U.S. Navy ships, National Guard, Air National Guard, Reserve troops, and Army helicopters are providing aid to Puerto Rico, but questions are mounting over whether the U.S. is doing enough for its territory and the people who are American citizens. To date, the amphibious assault ship Kearsarge and the dock landing ship Oak Hill have conducted 8 medical evacuations, 148 airlifts, and delivered 44,000 pounds of relief supplies and cargo to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Northern Command stated the U.S. forces have also restored a mobile communications tower at St. Thomas International Airport to enable the airport to receive additional aircraft to evacuate residents. The assault ship Wasp has been conducting similar rescues in Dominica, but that ship will be departing the region to head to the Pacific, where it will eventually relieve the Bonhomme Richard. My son was just on that. Currently, more than 700 Air National Guardsmen are deployed to Florida, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico. You know, can I tell you the problem? And again, this goes to our discussion about, you know, who better for the first parts of these catastrophes than the active duty component to deal with some of this stuff. But you have a finite amount of National Guard resources to go ahead and spread over such a wide area. Remember, still, Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands. I mean, the demand down there is huge. The demand down there is huge. And so, tough. So, we'll keep an eye on that. And certainly, I was listening to, Yvonne Rodriguez, who's a catcher, is from Puerto Rico. He was talking about that he was able to talk to his family. His friends have been able to talk to their families. Slowly but surely, cell phone service has been turned back on, which was a godsend for a lot of people. And they're hoping that the power begins to come on in the not too distant future. But he said, you know what? It's not like we haven't gone through things like this before. Nothing of this magnitude. So people are finding a way to cope. The evacuation supplies are beginning to get the breaking news. North Korea has approached Republicans for help trying to figure out Trump. What does that mean? Do you want to sit down and talk? That's the first we've heard of anything like that. Interesting. Next story on the top five in the early bird. Syrian war drags on, but Assad's future looks as secure as ever. That's a story. We don't hear a lot of reporting out of Raqqa, but by all accounts, two-thirds of that city has had the Islamic State driven from it. So, film at 11. A Pacific Fleet admiral says he'll retire. The head of the Navy's Pacific Fleet, in an announcement made yesterday, he was not selected for something. He was not made head of the U.S. Pacific Command. So he announced that he will be stepping aside. So Admiral Scott Swift announced that he would retire, which seems entirely appropriate. You can't have that many events on your watch. And again, it's not like it's going on in the Med. It's not like it's going on in the Atlantic. It's only going on, right, in the 7th Fleet. So I'm curious about, you know, what that is about. Is it endemic only to the Pacific Fleet? Now, I had an email the other day saying that somebody who had somebody on a bridge recently in another part of the world said they came perilously close as people on the bridge got preoccupied with one event and failed to notice a ship that was near them and said they almost collided as well. So, but here to date, it's only one fleet. So, and again, we all await the Navy to release the investigation into the USS Champlain. How does a cruiser, even in limited visibility, and I'm not sure what limited visibility meant. It could mean low ceiling. It could be a variety of things. Okay, but how you hit a 70-foot fishing vessel at noon? I don't know how you do that. Right, unless you absolutely positively cannot see. And even if you cannot see, we got radar. So, again, these stories, these things are pretty confounding. Things are percolating in Iraq relative to the Kurds, which means the Islamic State is close to being dealt with. Iraq's parliament demanded Monday that troops be sent to disputed areas in the north controlled by the Kurds since 2003 as autonomous Kurdish areas stage a referendum on independence. Parliament demands that the head of the army deploy forces in all of the zones the autonomous region of Kurdistan has taken control of since, think about this, since 2003. Since 2003. Pretty amazing. So for 14 years, the Kurds have been on their own. The zones disputed between the Kurds and the federal government in Baghdad are not part of the three provinces in northern Iraq that form the autonomous Kurdish area. The disputed areas are the oil-rich province of Kirkuk, as well as parts of Diyala and Nineveh province. Most of the disputed areas were conquered by the Kurdish Peshmerga forces in 2014 in the chaos that followed the sweeping offensive by the Islamic State. So as the Islamic State moved, right, the Peshmerga forces moved to create a buffer zone. Right, that's what they want back. Coincidentally, a lot of oil there. So what happens? We'll see. We'll see. And what happens if they do take on the Kurds? Who wins that one? I think a lot of people bet on the Kurds in a fight against the Iraqis. So we will see. Again, film at 11, but interesting story. China, their first live fire event on a foreign base. This is from the South China Morning Post. Live fire show of force by troops from China's first overseas military base. So, Chinese forces wearing some kind of aqua blue camouflage in the desert near Djibouti. It looks ridiculous. Standing out like a sore thumb. They've got knee pads, elbow pads. They got a very short stock weapon. Looks a lot like what the Brits use. Some kind of jungle boot on. A very, very similar rig that what you see American soldiers wearing. Interesting to include the bush cover. So temperatures over 100 degrees. Lifeguard training will help explore a new training model for the Chinese overseas garrison. So the Chinese flexing their global muscle. We'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. We'll check Marine headlines here on a Tuesday. Don't touch that dial.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255. 273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On the other side of the street I knew, stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me.
Called Drive by Train. You know what program I ran across? What's the program, the genealogy program on, is it PBS? The one that Ben Affleck was on, and they found out that his, like, ancestor, like, his great-great-grandfather owned slaves, and he tried to get them to use Whiteout and blast that out of the program. That program. I'd never really had seen it. I didn't know what it was. What's the name of the show? Finding Your Roots? Is that what it is? Yeah, it's called Finding Your Roots. And what a cool show, though. What a cool show. It's hosted by Henry Louis Gates. And so PBS has done a... did an internal review. All right, listen to this. PBS has will bow the delayed third season of Finding Your Roots on January 5th, marking the return of the show since host Henry Louis Gates Jr. was found to have acquiesced to Ben Affleck's request to scrub a slave-owning ancestor from the actor's episode of the genealogy series. In an internal review, the review found that Gates had, quote, violated PBS's standards by, among other things, not informing executives at PBS or producing station WNET about Affleck's request to censor the show's genealogical research about his ancestors. The show has added an additional researcher fact-checker, another genealogist, and an expert in DNA-based genealogy research. PBS programming chief Beth Hope, H-O-P-P-E, who led the investigation with WNET executive. She's a programming executive leading the investigation. WNET executive Steven Sigaler said she is satisfied that the Harvard professor appreciates the gravity of the ethical lapse. Yeah, but come on. Ben Affleck's a big dude. Do we need to piss him off? Yeah. So anyway, and so it goes. But I just ran across that the other night. Very cool. The way they find stuff, the way they develop it. Anyway, I throw that out to you. I thought it was fairly interesting. Somebody just sent me a link to Jay Vargas's Medal of Honor. I'll read that in a second. Let me get through a few more stories, though, because a bunch of stuff in the news is pretty interesting, in addition to everything that's going on with North Korea. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis is in South Asia for the first time since the White House unveiled its new strategy for the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan. The Pentagon chief landed Monday in India's capital, where he met with senior leaders, including Indian Prime Minister Modi. Mattis is hoping to deepen Washington's quickly growing defense relationship with New Delhi. One area of cooperation would be Afghanistan, where the U.S. is in a deadlock with the Taliban over the last 16 years. So what you see is the pressure of more robust relationship with India, putting pressure on Pakistan. And then here's a couple quotes. Quote, Pakistan has come out recently again saying that they are fighting the terrorists. I think Pakistan will find nothing out of line with India and the United States alignment in the same fight. There you go. Mattis's trip threatens to be overshadowed by the tensions with on the Korean Peninsula. Quote, this would be a shocking display of irresponsibility towards global health, towards stability, towards non-proliferation, Mattis added when he talked about, when was asked about North Korea threatening to conduct an atmospheric test of a hydrogen bomb. So, come on now. A couple of the stories before we go. Army fires an infantry basic training battalion commander. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Howard, commanding the 2nd Battalion, 58th Infantry Regiment, 198th Infantry Brigade at Fort Benning, home of the Army's Infantry 1 Station Unit training. Howard's relief was first reported Friday. The commander was relieved for loss of confidence in his ability to command. Howard's firing comes a month after Army launched an investigation into alleged sexual assaults by drill instructors against female trainees at Fort Benning. Women reported to the post for Infantry 1 Station training for the first time earlier this year. So the Army dealing with that. The 1st Marine Corps female infantry officer graduated from the infantry officer course last week. She requested that she not be identified by name or by photograph. She's headed for the 1st Marine Division, and the Commandant of the Marine Corps came out saying, I'm proud of this officer and those in her class who have earned the infantry officer MOS. And that is attributed to Gerald Neller. The Commandant of the Marine Corps, 32 female officers have previously attempted the 13-week infantry officer course in Quantico since the course first opened to women on an experimental basis in 2012. This class dropped a total of 131 Marines started the course 13 weeks ago. 88 graduated. So what is that, 31 and 12? 43 dropped out of 100 and... So a little bit less than a third dropped from the class. So there you have it. So again, and the other, what do we say, 43? The other 43 were men. I don't know how many, if there were very many women in there, but maybe there was a few women in there. But the rest of those are men drops. So no shame in that. Next story. Oh, no, I just wanted to, Jay Vargas, his name came up today. Here's his Medal of Honor citation. President of the United States, in the name of the Congress, takes pleasure in presenting the Medal of Honor to Major J.R. Vargas, United States Marine Corps, for service set forth in the following citation. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as commanding officer, Company G, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, 9th Marine Amphibious Brigade in action against enemy forces in the Republic of Vietnam on 30 April to 2 May 1968. On 1 May 1968, though suffering from wounds he had incurred while relocating his unit under heavy enemy fire the preceding day, Major, then Captain Vargas, combined Company G with two other companies and led his men in an attack on the fortified village of Dai Do. Exercising expert leadership, he maneuvered his Marines across 700 meters of open rice paddy while under intense enemy mortar, rocket, and artillery fire, and obtained a foothold in two hedgerows on the enemy perimeter, only to have elements of his company become pinned down by the intense enemy fire. Leading his reserve platoon to the aid of his beleaguered men, Major Vargas inspired his men to renew their relentless advance while destroying a number of enemy bunkers. Again wounded by grenade fragments, he refused aid as he moved about the hazardous area, reorganizing his unit into a strong defensive perimeter at the edge of the village. Shortly after the objective was secured, the enemy commenced a series of counterattacks and probes, which lasted throughout the night but were unsuccessful as the gallant defenders of Company G stood firm in their hard-won enclave. Reinforced the following morning, the Marines launched a renewed assault through Daido on the village of Ding To, in which the enemy retaliated with a massive counterattack, resulting in hand-to-hand combat. Major Vargas remained in the open, encouraging and rendering assistance to his Marines when he was hit for the third time in the three-day battle. Observing his battalion commander sustaining serious wounds, he disregarded his excruciating pain, crossed the fire-swept area, and carried his commander to a covered position, then resumed supervising and encouraging his men, simultaneously assisting in organizing the battalion's perimeter defense. His gallant actions uphold the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the United States Naval Service. Richard M. Nixon. After leaving the Marine Corps, J. Vargas served as Secretary of the California Department of Veterans Affairs from 1993 to 1998. He was appointed to the position. In 2001, he was appointed to the position of Regional Veteran Liaison for the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs by Anthony Principi and served there until 2009. There it is, J. Vargas. Pete Flood harassed him in Wendy's on Mainside. Yeah, that's a true story. True story. I was embarrassed. But Flutter, man, he could read a rack of ribbons like no man. And he could read it from a distance, too. Pete Flood had this thing about being hard. He would run home. We were at Camp Margarita, which is right smack in the middle of Camp Pendleton. So he would have his wife drop him off at work in the morning, and then she was still working in the afternoon. Ann was her name, and he would run home. So he would train all day with us, and yeah, you know, we'd do what we do, and then he would run down Vandegrift Boulevard out the main gate, and all of our Marines would see him that were commuting. They'd be like, "Is that Lieutenant Flood running home? Like all like 15 miles?" Yeah, Lieutenant Flood runs home. He loved it, too. Anyway, he could run a little bit. My thanks this morning to Tom Drowdy for joining us. Yeah, pretty cool. To everybody that emailed, I don't get to every one of them every day, but just want to thank you for listening and contributing to the program. Almarine Radio gets bigger and better every month, and certainly proud of what it's becoming. And but most of all, what it's devoted to, and that is, it's devoted to our tribe. It's devoted to, no matter how far away you feel you are, bringing you a little bit closer, and then constantly reminding you that you're not getting over it. Go fight for what you need with the VA. Don't kill yourself. Right. When you feel like you're going down that path, pick up the phone, call your buddies, connect with them. They get it. They understand, and they'll help. So, pretty cool little concept, and certainly proud of it. So, thanks for participating. Most of all, thanks for listening. The program repeats itself here momentarily. So, if you missed it when we started, don't touch that dial. Anyway, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. On a Tuesday, All Marine Radio over and, that's right, out.